We are in a series on the book of Ephesians right now. We have been told by the Lord to stay there in Ephesus so that why? So that he can refresh us. So that he can refresh us. And so if you got your Bibles, let's turn right now to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, so far we've been talking about how we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not just our hashtag pillows or our hashtag signs on the wall, but that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms, not just with things here on earth, but things that are to come. And that, Paul says that there is more than just those spiritual blessings because we have a hope to which we are called. Everybody know in this place that you have a calling on your life? Yeah, everybody has a calling on their life. A hope to which they're called, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, that which we have to look forward to once we get to heaven, and is incomparably great power for those who believe. All right? We talked about how the work of God matters. The work matters. The work of what Jesus Christ did on the cross matters. And his handiwork in making us to fulfill the calling that he has on our life, because we are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows to him. We talked about that. We talked about how Jesus is the author of peace. We try to get peace in this world. Some people want to have peace in different things that they do, different things that they take into their bodies. They try to give themselves peace. But Jesus is the author of peace. He helps us with the peace that surpasses all understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And he also brings reconciliation between us and the Father. He brings reconciliation. That we can be reconciled to the Father and reconciled to one another. And that is an example. That's an example to other believers or unbelievers of, wow, how did these two get reconciled? It had to be the Lord that did that. Amen? We talked about how Jesus is the author of peace, but we talked about how we as believers are called to suffer. We're called to suffer. That's part of our life. That we would share in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. If Christ suffered, why wouldn't we? Right? And so we are called to suffer, and that means that someone else can come to the Lord. That means that we can relate to somebody else because we went through something that they're going to go through or are going through right now, and we have that privilege of being able to share in their sufferings, just as Christ did with us, suffering. Last week we talked about being charged up in the Holy Spirit. Being charged up in the Holy Spirit. Paul began with a prayer for the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians 3 and verse 14. And that prayer was for power or ability to contain the supernatural. Jesus Christ dwelling in us by faith. And we need that because while we may be able to straighten up the outside of us, to clean up our act, to stop swearing, to stop smoking, to stop drinking, to stop being sexually immoral, we can clean up that kind of stuff. We need Jesus Christ living inside of us to clean up the inside. We need that. We need that to deal with all that wickedness, that we may not be whitewashed tombs. We don't want to be whitewashed tombs. How many know that we cannot clean up the inside without Jesus Christ living in us? Amen? Yeah. And then I mentioned how the Holy Spirit had me stop in the middle of Paul's prayer here, which we're going to finish today, so that we could do some heart work. He gave us that list in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he talked about in these last days there will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, and they'll be ungrateful and boastful and proud and treacherous and rash and without self-control and without love and ungrateful and unholy and all these things. I don't know about you guys, but this week I just kind of kept meditating on that as different things came my way this week, and I began to think about it. I'm bringing Jesus into this. And it's not up to me to be self-controlled. It's not up to me to practice love. It's up to me to trust that Jesus in me is going to help me to do these things. Amen? Yes. And then also be considerate this week about storming into his throne room, right? God, I need this. But instead to come and acknowledge who it is that he is in our lives. With humility to acknowledge who he is. And so let's pick up where we left off at. Actually, we're going to read, let's start in verse 14. Of Ephesians 3. We're just going to read that again to get a refresher. And we'll go through verse 21. So verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Someone say immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. Thank you. Than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 We're going to continue the message of charged up in the Holy Spirit. This is part two. We used to watch the cartoons back in the day, and you'd watch the cartoon for the day, and at the end of that cartoon, sometimes it would say, to be continued, right? And you're like, oh, man, I got to wait till tomorrow. Or if it was a Friday, you're like, I got to wait till Monday. Well, you only had to wait a week. Here we are. We're back to it, charged up in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so verse 17. Paul begins the second part of his prayer, and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. What does that look like, to be rooted and established in love? I think of a lilac bush. We used to like lilac bushes. We thought they were cool. They grew fast. They grew big. They had these pretty lavender blooms on them that smelled really nice in the spring. Until we tried to take one out of the ground. You ever try to take out an established lilac bush out of the ground? It is not easy. Those roots, they grow deep. They got an immense set of roots. I still remember our neighbor, we had a lilac bush at our house in Omaha, and we dug around it, tried to chop through the roots that we could to try to get the root ball out of there, working at it. This guy, our neighbor, comes over and says, what are you doing? I said, trying to get a lilac bush out of the ground. And so he's like, oh, okay. So he starts doing the same thing there a little bit, can't get it out. And he ends up tying a rope around his waist, wraps a rope around the root ball, and begins to pull, like steam locomotive, just trying to pull that root ball out. Until either the rope snapped or it came loose. I'm not sure what happened, but I needed self-control that day not to laugh as he took a somersault in my yard. Oh, man. Yeah, I did laugh. I did. But then he got up and he, embarrassed, he stormed away, went to his house, got his truck, got a chain. It was out of there. That was what took care of it, you know? But that's the thought that comes to mind when I think about being rooted and established in love. And that's the kind of root that we want to have into the love of Jesus Christ, one that is not movable, no matter what man does to us. Amen? A root that is so well established that nothing that happens to that plant will take it out, even if the trunk is snapped or it's mowed over. Right, Keith? We talked about this last week. It'll just regrow itself. Last week, Keith and I were comparing stories of oak trees. I have an oak tree the trunk is about that big, just a little oak, and the top of the tree died, and I snapped the trunk off. And Keith was talking about how he had mowed over an oak, and it just, even after he mowed over it because he thought it was dead, it came back. And so the oak that we have, it's got a trunk that's about that high off the ground now, but there's growth all around it. And you wonder, like, why is it that it was able to regrow itself? It's because its roots were established and firm in the ground. It was rooted and established. It's so important to be rooted and established in the love of God, the agapeo love. That God-like love that is unconditional, regardless of anything that we've ever said, thought, or done. Everything. We need to be established in that kind of love. We need to be established in that in order to live abundantly today. So Paul continues on in verse 18, and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. In the first part of Paul's prayer last week, he prayed that God would strengthen us with power or ability for Jesus to dwell in us. That Greek word there for power is the word dynamis, That's again where we get the word dynamite from. But now he prays that we would have power to grasp. Power to grasp. That's a different Greek word there. It's the word, if I can pronounce it, exeshuo. Exeshuo is the Greek word there, and it means to be fully able. So Paul is saying that we would be fully able to grasp the love of God, the love of Christ there. How many know it's going to take more than what we got, our natural selves, in order to grasp something that is supernatural? Amen? Yes. And so he gives us the ability in our inner being to be fully able to grasp his love. I want you to notice that there's a condition to grasping his love. If you look back at verse 17, it says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp. There's a condition there. So it's important that we get rooted and established. How do we get rooted and established? That's a good question, right? How do we get rooted and established? Again, Paul's first prayer last week, that we would be strengthened with the ability through the Holy Spirit in our inner being that Christ may dwell in us by faith. Here's the truth. When Christ dwells in us and starts cleaning house, like we talked about last week, our roots get established in his love. Our roots get established in his love. So we have to be formed in the love of Christ. Formed in the love of Christ. As a seed begins to form a plant in the soil it is placed in. That's how we need to be formed in the love of Christ. Christ's love makes the soil of our hearts fertile so that a seed can germinate and so that a seed can get rooted and established in that soil. What kind of soil is in your heart today? Are you allowing the love of Christ to establish you? What we grasp, Paul is talking about, is not this concept of his love, not just to say, well, I know that God loves me, or Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. To go beyond that, not just the concept, but to grasp the truth that you and I are surrounded in the love of Christ. Surrounded in his love. To live in it. To live in it. Paul says in verse 18 that we would be able to grasp the width and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. Those are all measurements, by the way. Measurements, okay? So let's get a picture of this. Imagine yourself standing in the middle of a field, okay? You're standing in a field. Let's just pretend like the altar here is a field. I think of a field as more rectangular in shape. And so let's say it's just lined all the way around with trees, okay? Length is the length from the front to the back of the field, okay, where the tree line is. Width would be to the left and to the right. And if we're only talking in 2D, that's it. That's all we get. Right, but we're in 3D, aren't we? There's more to me than just I'm not flat Stanley, right? Okay, and so the 3D, so we have a height and a depth as well, okay? And so depth would be from our feet down, okay? That's depth, the measuring whatever the soil is underneath us or as far down as we can go. We're not measuring us, by the way, so we're measuring the love of Christ. So we're talking about depth, so that's below us. Height would be from our feet as far up as we can go. Okay, that's the measurement of height, all right? We're measuring the love of Christ. This is what Paul is saying. In order to take full hold of the truth that of the love of Christ, we need to be fully surrounded on all sides. That means to know how far in front of us God's love goes, how far behind us he backs us up, how far to the left and the right he sandwiches us in, how far above us and how far below us is the love of Christ surrounding us. Is there any measure for that? No, there's no measure for that. He surrounds us completely, hems us in behind and before. That we would know, because we know that, God, Paul is praying that we would know that we'd be able to experience that, but that also that we would know when we step out of it, when we walk away from that love, we're not in his love anymore. And you know, Kyle, we can walk out of it, can't we? Yeah, we can walk out of it. Paul also mentions there that we would have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Together with all the Lord's holy people. This is important for two reasons. Number one, all believers can receive this ability to grasp the love of Christ. All those who make the decision, who have faith in him, have the ability to grasp this through the dwelling of Christ in our hearts. There isn't a single person that cannot grasp the love of Christ once we are in Christ. Once we are in Christ. Because his love is for all. There is no one that his love is not for. Okay? And then through in Christ, when we are in Christ, we all can have access to everything that the Father has. Number two, we need to be together in the body. Not just that we're saved and we're in the body of Christ, but we need to be together in the body of Christ. All of us need to be together. That power and the ability that we each receive from the Holy Spirit charges us up. I was talking to a brother on Friday, and as we were talking, it was just like we were just both getting excited about the fact of what God is doing in our lives and things like that. And it's like, wow, this is like each other. We're charging each other up. It's like, yeah, the Holy Spirit charges us up, but when we get around other believers, then we get their charge, and they get our charge, and we go back and forth. And it's like having one battery as opposed to having multiple batteries. How many people know that, you know, multiple devices today take more than one battery to power them, right? We need that. We need to get charged up by one another. We want to say this. We want to say, I got this. I'm saved. I got this. I got it figured out. I'm okay. I don't need that. But deep down in your heart, don't you know that you need others? You need others to walk with you. You need others to help you grow. We need that with each other. Amen? Yeah. So together with all the Lord's holy people. By the way, holy people... That's not like the elect few or something like that. You know, it's not the chosen few. If you are in Christ, and Christ then is in you, you are the righteousness of God. You have the holiness of God in you. There is no one that is more holy than somebody else in Christ. Okay? So we all have that. Whether you've been walking with him, Sean, for a week and a half, 2 weeks now, or you've been walking with him for 20 years, you are just as much holy as anybody else in this place, because Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 19. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Paul is praying not just for power or to be fully able to grasp the love of Christ, to be surrounded in it, to acknowledge that, okay? But also that we would have power or be fully able to know the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It goes beyond, Jacob, it goes beyond our knowledge, like you were talking about earlier. Christ's love here is not a concept at all. Hear me. It's not a concept. It's a real thing. It is a real thing. It's something that we can experience even here in our finite lives. It's that agape, unconditional love that goes beyond all understanding. When we say, God, I don't know how you can forgive me every single time I mess up. I don't understand how you can redeem all of the stupid stuff that I've done all my life. I don't know how, even when I sin today, I don't know how you can still be patient with me. I don't get it, God. That's that love that surpasses all understanding, yet we can know and we can have a grasp of it because of Christ's love being rooted and established in his love. Which also means if we have any understanding of it at all, we can know that he dwells in us because it's the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus cleaning house, giving us that revelation and giving us the strength or the ability to grasp it today, to grasp the love of God today. For what purpose? Why do we need the ability, the power to grasp and the power to know? Why do we need that? So that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, like Paul says there. Ultimately, this is what Jesus wants to do in your heart, to fill you up with the measure of his fullness. We're not talking about what you got in your pantry or your cupboards at home where you got teaspoons and tablespoons and cups and things like that. Not like that, but no. But this cup, whatever it is, of God, this cup that has a line on it that says, the measure of all the fullness of Christ. All the fullness of God right there. Do you have one of those in your cupboard? Some kind of cup that has a measuring line that says all the fullness of God? Well, you do in your heart. Because your heart is the cup, the measuring cup of God's fullness. Yes. In Ephesians 1, Paul said that Christ is the fullness of God who fills everything in every way. So he's telling us this is who Christ is. Here in Ephesians 3, Paul is praying that we would be filled with that fullness. Okay? So we get an idea of the fullness of God, and now we're praying that we would be filled with it. That means we can be filled with it. He wouldn't be praying it if we couldn't be filled with it. It wouldn't be in the scriptures if we couldn't be filled with the love of Christ. Amen? As we get into the latter part of the book of Ephesians, the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4 kind of separate the two parts of Ephesians. But we're going to see Paul make a transition from talking about who we are and who Christ is from talking about who we are and who Christ is to how it is that we should live in that would be our filter. We have an idea of who we are and who Christ is, and so that now when we get over here and things start hitting us between the eyes about the things that we need to be doing, we can go back over here and we can say, okay, this is who I am in Christ, and because of Christ living in me, I can do these things. Amen? That's what we're going to be talking about coming up here. So verse 20, Paul says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. That's the dynamis power again. So it's back to the original one. Dynamis, it's God's power according to his power that is at work within us. Paul showed us back in Ephesians 1 that there is more for those who believe. More. Because God is able to do more, Violet. Immeasurably more. He's able to do more than anything we could ever ask or imagine. Now, a week and a half ago, we had a summer youth gathering here. And I asked the youth, if you could do anything, if there were no limits, what is it that you would do? Or what is it that you would have? What is that? Okay, I asked them that question. And Lydia didn't know it was going to be in a sermon illustration, did you? Yeah. Some of the stuff was achievable. Some of the stuff that was mentioned was achievable. Having a dog sled team, somewhat achievable. Opening up a coffee shop for ministry. New businesses start all the time. Helping wild horses not be butchered to protect them in a sanctuary so that they're not sold for meat. Being a Rubik's Cube genius. Guess who that was? Going and visiting the actors of their favorite TV show, be able to go on set. Going to college debt-free. Yes. And then one of the leaders said, to time travel. That one's not so achievable. Even if you have a flux capacitor and a DeLorean and a Mr. Fusion and all that kind of stuff, that one's not so much achievable. But these are the things that the group imagined. Yet Paul tells us here, the one who loves us with a love that surpasses all understanding, the one who surrounds us fully and completely in his love, is able to do more than our wildest imaginations could ever dream of. Okay, more than that. If there was a measure for the fullness of God, that line, that beaker, whatever that container may be, God can do immeasurably more than even his fullness. Amen? In our lives. Do we see him like that? Do we know that we can ask God for impossible things and believing that he is able to do those things? Do we know that? Is our God bigger than us? This is why it's important to know this. In this dry season that we're in, not just outside, but in our hearts as well, that he can do more. If he can do more than I can imagine, then he is able to refresh this weary heart. Amen? In a way that nothing this world can. Do you trust him to do so? Or do you run to the things that you think refresh you? Those short-lived things, those temporary things that we try to satiate our lives with. What do you do? As we close today, I'm going to have you stand with me as we close today. Before we get to communion, we'll get to communion. I didn't forget. We'll get to it. Good, yeah. But I want to ask you today, maybe you're saying, yeah, I hear what it is that you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But I feel more like that oak tree you were talking about to begin with there. I feel like I'm mowed down or the trunk of my life has been snapped. I feel like I've been cut off at the knees. And I don't feel like I have that root. I don't feel like I'm established in his love. I don't feel like that. That's you today as I pray. I want to just give you the opportunity to come forward and have some other people pray for you. This place, this altar, it's a place where we give our lives, but it's also a place of encouragement. Okay? It's a place where we can come forward and we can be prayed for. We can be humbled, yes, but we are prayed for and then we are charged up with one another. We are encouraged by those Holy Spirit batteries in our lives today. And so if that's you today, and by the way, last week I said at the end of the service, I said, if anybody needs prayer for healing, come on forward. Sean came forward. If you don't mind me calling you out here, Sean. Sean came forward, not because he needed healing, but because he wanted to respond to the message. He wanted to be in humility, respond to the message up here in front. And so that's an encouragement, Sean, to the rest of us, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord. Okay? So I just want to encourage you today. This is a place that you can meet with the Lord. This is a place where someone else can come alongside you, lay a hand on you, and agree with you in prayer. But if that's you today, if you feel like I've been cut off at the knee, I don't sense that love of God around me. I don't feel that. I feel like everything in my life is a drain on my life, and I need a change today. As I pray, I'm just going to invite you to come forward right now. Father, I just thank you so much for what you are doing in this place. God, I thank you that we get to talk about this love that surpasses all understanding. God, that you want to do this in our lives. You want to show us. You want to surround us with this love that is beyond us. This love that we wouldn't even be able to grasp if it weren't for Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts today. And so, Lord, whatever it is that people need today, God, I just pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be rooted and established in your love today. God, that you would help us as we seek you, God, as we need that refreshing in this dry season of our lives. God, that you would pour out today your Holy Spirit. God, pour out rivers of love, rivers of living water upon us today. Lord, that we would connect with you today, that we would experience that today.